Hey, what's up, peoples? This is The Worderer, and you can peep my flow at TheWorderer.com. But right now, I'm just tuned in listening to the biggest of the big dogs of internet radio. I'm talking BBS Radio, because you're done, though. If it ain't mainstream, then it's gotta be on BBSRadio.com. Roof.
I am your Hello, and welcome to Live from Ordinary Miracles. This is Jan Sircone, and I am solo tonight. My dear friend Matt Kramer, as you know, is also a mediator, and sometimes things get really mixed up in the world, and they really need him. So, hey, Randy. Hi. So I pulled in one of my very best friends to co-host with me tonight, Mr. Randy Masters. Good evening, Randy.
Good evening.
Good evening. I know many of the listeners know you from Fred Bell's show, right?
Yeah, I've been on that show several times.
Uh-huh, and the sound healing with David Gibson, right?
Yeah. Fred and I have a good time when we talk. It's kind of like, you know, scientists sitting in their living room, kind of a fly on the wall type experience.
Yeah, he is a character, isn't he?
We have a great time.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit. We're just opening the show here, and we played a selection from the CD that you and I actually co-created, As Above, So Below. And we played the third song, I Am the Flow. And the listeners may have heard that there was a very unusual instrument in there, which is quite amazing, a one-of-a-kind, actually. And that's a friend of yours that you brought in on the project, Mark Deutsch, and I thought maybe you could tell us a little bit about that instrument, Randy.
Yeah, Mark is a bass player that used to play a lot of different styles of music and was a jazz player and an acoustic bass player. And he was also a sitar player and studied Indian music, and he also studied the intricate harmonies in Indian music, the different tuning systems. So he developed a bass that has sympathetic strings on it that are, it's like a bass sitar in a way. You have these sympathetic strings that can be tuned, and he tunes them to some pretty unusual scales. And then when he plays on it, all these sympathetic strings start resonating and making it sound like you're playing bass and sitar at the same time. And all this huge amount of overtones come off this instrument. It's really quite astounding. And then he plays these very intricate tuning systems, because there's no frets, of course, on the bass, so he can play all the microtones, and he knows how to do that, playing harmonics and playing with a bow and with his fingers and pretty much all over the neck on the bass. It's quite a virtuoso thing that he's doing. But he does it in a way that creates a tremendous beauty in the sound.
What's interesting is when he plays on this piece, it sounds like many instruments, and he told me once that Quincy Jones said, no way that cat is playing one instrument. It really has like a landscape of, like a limniscape of all these different sounds. Yet, I remember that you had him tune it in, was it F, the key? So it's
yes.
All of what he's playing was this, within
crystal
that realm.
Bowls. Mm-hmm. And we actually used the crystal bowl to give the fundamental. That way we could put the crystal bowls on different tones in with the bizantar, and everything would be exactly in tune.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so that was
beautiful.
A kind of a remarkable combination to do that. And I actually feel that he played the best things I've ever heard him play. I'm so inspired. I mean, we could have made an entire CD of your singing with all the different pieces that Mark played that day.
I remember when he went into the studio, we actually did some invoking, and we asked the Divine Mother to be part of the entire recording proceedings. And I remember he just kind of nodded like, I got it. And he went in, and what was it? The entire, it was a six-hour thing. He would, you know, come in and out just for little breaks. And he did look very pleased. And we actually had so much wonderful selections that he could even have made another CD onto itself. Very fabulous.
Yeah, I think he was pleased to know that things came through even perhaps beyond his own expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to do more things where we can do work with him and just really develop this, because I feel that people need to hear the bizantar in a lyrical situation, so they can really connect with the content of the music, as well as all of the harmonic sounds, the intellectual part of it, the to really connect with the emotional content of the music, which is what we certainly were able to capture on your recording, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I thought so. Thank you. What I find very exciting is this combination of different instruments, and I know that you create many styles and different types of healing tools, but it seems that you are moving more into co-creation with some of your chimes and different instruments and ancient tunings and creating these almost like ancient and modern pieces all at the same time. Tell me about some of your dreams or possibilities of things that you would create if you had a limitless budget.
Well, I spent so many years researching all these ancient musics and tuning systems and things as I began to be more and more aware that the musical interval, which is a distance from one interval to one from one note to another, we call an interval, okay? And those intervals can be in different ratios, and the different ratios express different emotions, and they also represent different frequencies. And when all of that mathematics comes together, I believe it opens doors. It's like fine-tuning a key. If some keys won't fit the door or the window, you might say, well, unless they're tuned right. So once I see what the possibilities are of this mathematics, I want to share it in a soulful way. Well, one of the things is to make musical instruments that anybody could play so they don't have to spend years learning how to play the instrument and can just get right in there immediately or in a workshop or in a play space and children can play it. So it's not dependent upon musical skills, although musical skills can certainly make differences in the performance, but it's not dependent upon that. And then people can bring this level of math into their lives in a natural way, just like playing with the rainbow chimes and that tuning. It's charming for people, and they don't really have to think about the math at all when they're playing it, just to improvise with the chimes. So somehow something has opened up in the field where I believe people are open to this, where in earlier years it seemed maybe more far out, or maybe it appeared intellectual to them, or they just couldn't connect with it. And now it seems so many people, even without musical background, are charmed by these sounds, and they can appreciate to a certain degree the intellectual information and research that's gone into it to know that it's not something that resides in the intellect, but there's a lot of thought. And the ancient wisdom that is represented by these tunings, they have access to, and they don't have to practice all the time just to make some good sounds. So one region is making this ancient world of attunement available to people, for healers and practitioners, massage practitioners and musicians, lecturers who want to demonstrate different things, and make it fun and available. So that's one whole realm here. And then I'm looking at different
kinds. That's a very important point, yes, that to make it available and accessible and easy so that people have a feeling of success when they pick up an instrument and not putting it always into the entertainment. But I know my work with children in Alzheimer's patients that they're much more open to exploring and experimenting, whereas people in their, say, 20s to 50s, they take more of a passive audience role. And I don't think that's healthy. I think in the in ancient times, everyone participated in music. Didn't just go on the radio, but on a cassette. So I like your thinking. Put the instruments in people's hands. Now, when we were at the sound healing convention, I remember we talked to the fellow that developed the Free Notes program. The pentatonic scale.
Well, I have a whole range of designs for them that can completely transform the company in terms of making the ancient wisdom available through the beauty of the instruments that they make.
Great.
And not only
ancient. Our guest is coming in. Our guest tonight. We're co-hosting this as a surprise together here tonight, and I believe we're getting ready to welcome Carmela Carlisle the Laughter Yoga Therapist. Is that you, Carmela?
Hello, Jan.
Hello, and welcome. Hi.
Well, thank you. Thank
welcome.
You.
Welcome. Yeah,
here.
Thanks for joining us. And I have here my very special friend and partner, Randy Masters, a specialist at music and sound healing, and we were just having a little conversation here, and we're ready to welcome you in.
Well, hello, Randy.
Welcome.
Hi.
Well, I like what you're saying, Jan, about as we grow older, we assume this passive role in terms of community and in music and with voice, and I'd have to say that that is precisely the same situation with laughter.
Yes.
And that's why folks want to go and be passive and listen to comedians instead of generating laughter in community together, unlike children who laugh about 500 times a day.
You know, this is wonderful that I have the two of you here because Randy is such a specialist at sound. I bet, Randy, you could even tell us what the key or what the notes are that people laugh in different cultures.
That's great. I had a feeling you were going to ask something like that. I have no idea. I have never measured it. But I bet what we could do, though, is measure some brain waves and at different states of laughter
mm-hmm.
and find out, you know, what the harmonic, you know, where people go when the left and right brain, for instance, synchronize when they're laughing. And I'll bet there's some magic there just to discover.
Well, absolutely. I know that laughter is a form of sound healing, and that's why Matt and I invited Carmela Carlisle to be our guest tonight. And as I mentioned before, Matt couldn't be here tonight, so my dear friend Randy is helping me co-host. Laughter yoga was begun in 1995 in India by a gentleman who I believe was a physician. Carmela, why don't you help me out here and...
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Yeah, that's right, Jan. And Jan and I have done laughter yoga together, so you're speaking as someone who's experienced this form of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, it does come from India, and it was created by a physician, Dr. Madan Kataria. And he's a physician with a private practice, family practitioner in Mumbai, in India. And he wrote in scholarly journals. And one of the topics about which he was writing was the healing power of laughter. So he started his research, and this is in 1993 or so, and he found that laughter has so many benefits. And he went back to, for instance, the book by Norman Cousins in 1973. Norman Cousins wrote a book called Anatomy of an Illness. And in that book, he described his experience, how he was unable to sleep, but when his good buddy Al Funt from, you know, Candid Camera brought him videos, if he laughed for 10 minutes,
oh,
he was able to get sleep and pain relief for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Lataria looked at all of the research and said, if this is so beneficial, we need to laugh more. So he went out into the park and gathered some folks in the beginning. This is in downtown Mumbai, like a city of millions. And they told jokes, and we all know what happens with jokes. Sooner or later, they're going to offend someone. So it wasn't going well, and he went home to his wife, who I think is the heroine of this story, because he said, people are upset. I'm not getting the harmonious effect that I wanted. And
mm-hmm.
she suggested, get rid of the jokes, hon. Do yogic breathing. Breathe together, relax the diaphragm, and the laughter will come. And that is how laughter yoga was created, by a family physician and a yoga teacher. She'd been teaching yoga for over 20 years.
I like
so
it. That's the masculine and the feminine together. That's great.
And, you know, it's actually the meaning of the word yoga, by the way, for, you know, mm-hmm. many of your listeners are probably familiar with this, but just as a little reminder, the meaning of the word yoga is to yoke or to join with.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have is really modern Western medicine in the form of the physician trained in the Western model, yoking or joining with the Eastern or ancient tradition of yoga, masculine, feminine, East, West, together.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Randy, what do you think happens to a person's energy field? Now, when you said that Norman Cousins was shifted, I imagine that something must have changed. The frequencies in his body must have changed. Randy, what do you think? How was he shifted? Endorphin-wise, or was his aura shifted?
It has to bring about a rain of endorphins. And then those hormones change things and change the brain rate and change the heart and respiratory rates. But I believe there are specific endorphins that are released in laughter that are crucial here.
Absolutely, Randy. And you know, modern neurophysiology says that laughter is linked very much with the prefrontal cortex of the brain, which is the emotional center of the brain. Mm-hmm. The left anterior cortex, that's where emotions reside, okay? And that is also the part of the brain where endorphins are released. And the other thing that goes on with laughter is that serotonin is released. So you have both things going on. And the limbic system is affected by laughter, which is necessary for survival. So it enables people to shift from being in that fight or flight syndrome of stress to the parasympathetic nervous system, where you can release. And so often with people who are, in this case, we're talking specifically about for healing, so we get trapped in the fight or flight stress syndrome in our lives. And people who are suffering, especially with a life-threatening illness, of course, are really fraught with stress. So by laughing, he was able to shift to the other, to a release from that. And also he was able to shower his system with that lovely cocktail of endorphins and serotonin for community.
Hello.
And for stress.
Candace Pert wrote the very best book on this subject called Molecules of Emotion. And she talks about how our thoughts create a bath of neurochemicals that go into each cell. So when you're happy, each cell has happy juices in it. When you're depressed, each cell has depressed juices in it. I want to go back to your point, and I think this is really important, is that we hold our diaphragms. And as a sound healer and singer, I know that's the point that has to drop out for people to drop into their body and to get the proper breathing. And you said that it's a release. And so when you do your classes, I remember, you know, you started out, ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. And after a while, we were laughing so hard that something dropped out, and it was almost as if we lost the sense of ourselves, and it was like that tribal women's group that was just something released, and it was heavenly. Can you describe how you think that works?
Well, I can try, and I think that there's so much that goes on here. So to address the tribal aspect of what you said, Jan, we are hardwired with a natural response to us laughter, of feeling that we belong. So that it's actually the social connection of laughing with others that can get us to that place. And you know, we are not the only beings who laugh. What we know now from research is that rats, for instance, have been discovered to emit short little high frequency ultrasonic socially induced vocalizations during rough and tumble play or when they're tickled.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's our kind of talk, Carmela. You know, sound healers, we like to hear that little high-frequency stuff.
I mean, we can't hear it, but rats tickle one another and tumble and play. And moreover, what research has shown is that laughter is associated with a positive emotional feeling in groups of mammals as well, you know, and human beings. But even with animals, that sense of laughing together, it socially connects with us and puts us at ease. When someone laughs, it's an unconscious response. We look at them, we see them laughing, we hear them laughing. Our brain tells us, I'm safe, I belong.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is so healing about laughter yoga mm-hmm. with others.
Where it I know how important.
Oh, yes. Because we're so cut off from one another, and I'm having a difficult mm-hmm. time hearing you a little bit too tonight.
Yeah, me too.
But,
I mean, a little bit of echo, so sometimes
ways.
I'm not sure if it's me
to that
or you
place
talking.
Where you're safe and you're nurtured, yeah. and your body is telling you, I belong. And that is what I see in working with people in a variety of settings. I even see this in working with people with Alzheimer's when I go into dementia care communities where people have lost the ability to interact socially, and yet they can do laughter together, get a sense of community. It's just charming to behold. It really is.
And that's
Carmella, did
so
you
that's
see the movie Ratatouille?
I think you all know more about diaphragms than I do, but I think uh-huh. that something else I want to share with you all is that laughter exercise is suited for sedentary people, people who are confined to bed, to uh-huh. wheelchairs, and it's really beneficial because of another benefit that goes on is that the diaphragm is released. And when you inhale, 2/3 of your lung capacity comes from abdominal breathing, which means that if you don't use mm-hmm. your abdomen to breathe deeply, you are mm-hmm. constantly carrying around 2/3 of your lungs filled with stale air and toxins.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So that's why when you do the big belly laughing and deep abdominal yogic breath work, the laughter repeatedly flushes the lungs, and it brings them to full capacity, and it brings substantially more oxygen into your bloodstream. So you get this high, if you will, from the oxygen. A lot of people say, I feel high, and yeah, it's your mm-hmm. body being flushed of releasing toxins and being oxygenated throughout your body and your brain. So that contributes. Those two things are pretty key, I think. The social connection, the endorphins were another one we talked about, but also the cleansing of the breath and the sound for healing.
Now, what you said about it making people comfortable, often speakers will start with a joke, and it helps all of the people in the audience, one, get the frequencies of the speaker's voice, but also just to let that diaphragm drop, and so it stops the critical mind. So I think that the laughter is very, very healthy in that part, and the smart speakers always use laughter. I have a question for you about the Alzheimer's patient.
Mm-hmm.
Because I work with Alzheimer's, often they cannot cognize that something is funny. How do you get them to laugh without understanding the punchline?
Yeah, that's a good one. And this is true for all of us in practicing laughter yoga. The first thing that people say to me is, oh, so you're a comedian. And no, I'm not. Laughter yoga involves no jokes. There are no jokes told in laughter yoga. The technique is that we get together in a group. Depending on the setting, it can be in different ways that this can happen. But the basics are that there are no jokes. And what I do is I guide the group with techniques to bypass intellectual barriers, to inspire contagious, natural laughter. And in order to do that, we do breathing, and we fake it till you make it. That's what Dr. Madan Kataria says.
That is it exactly.
You fake it till you mm-hmm. make it. You know, mm-hmm. we inhale, we do ho, ho, ha, 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 ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. We inhale, everyone raises mm-hmm. their hands, and we release mm-hmm. with ha, 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 ha. And by doing that, by speaking
Are you laughing, Randy?
Laughter,
is it contagious, Randy?
Are you
laughing?
Try it out there, listeners. Inhale,
it
raise
is contagious.
Your hands to the ceiling. And now dissolve and bend over, and as you go down, it's
Oh, watch out. We're going to get the whole world laughing here, Carmella.
And when we do that, the folks with Alzheimer's, as well as the rest of us, are able to bypass the need to understand a joke, and we can just go straight to the laughter. It's a shortcut, Jan. You just go straight to it.
When we did the little circle at my house, you got us to such a vulnerable place. that you had us look in each other's eyes and just say our name. For instance, I would look at you and I'd say, Carmela. And we would burst into uncontrollable laughter.
I know. I mean, how refreshing from these usual. And that's something else that I try to do. I mean, I guess maybe I should share with our listeners here that, you know, I do have a background facilitating groups. I've been a psychotherapist, you know, by training and facilitated groups for many years. I've worked in the workplace doing team building. I'm a support group facilitator and an expressive art therapist. So I do have an ease and a set of skills in a group. And the challenge, I think, that for this work is really to get folks to get to that place of feeling safe and embracing the structure of being silly, which, after all, that's not easy to do for some folks. So instead of shaking hands and going, hello, my name is Carmela Carlisle, and I am, what we did in that exercise is we looked into each other's left eye to activate the right brain, and we just said someone's name and laughed. And how refreshing that someone says your name and you laugh and it's amusing and you move on to the next person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the name is such a powerful thing, too.
It is. And, you know, that one's very effective, Jan, when I do laughter yoga in the workplace. I'm finding increasingly now that people who are trying to do team building and staff retreats and we need to, you know, connect, instead of getting together in stuffy office rooms where they're doing team building exercises, I encourage folks to get together out of doors, round a fire, and laugh together.
Randy, great. You could use some of these techniques in your workshops. Laughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm wondering about, with the both of you there right now, when you're thinking of sound and laughter and voice. You know, it's been shown now that the studies looks like children as young as 17 days can laugh. Yes. And maybe, you know, we talk about, you know, babies, you know, and then how they can laugh and they even before they can really focus too well, they can laugh, you know. And they know to smile with people. And it's a way for them to feel safe. So actually, from a very young age, we're doing that. I don't know about singing and voice and following melodies and such. I don't know the capacity of human beings, you know, at what age or what developmental stage we can do that. But certainly laughter is very early on. And babies learn that by being cute and that by laughing, people will take care of you. And we have found that babies that are affected with health disorders that prevent them from being able to tune in and laugh, often autistic children, this is the case.
Oh, interesting.
That they are endangered. So that we must remember that from getting the care they need, you know, for their development. Mm-hmm. So this is where the power of voice and sound. It's not just healing at an unconscious level. It really is linked to our utter survival.
That's very profound. Randy, do you have any thoughts come up?
You're breaking up a little bit, but I'm listening.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. Hi.
Yeah, usually when I speak, it doesn't sound like you're able to hear me the way this connection is set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry,
we're actually a triangle. We're a sacred geometry triangle tonight.
Carmela, have you recorded different laughter styles and signatures?
You know, I have not. I have not worked with it at that level, Randy. You know, but what I do, that as far as laughter profiles, we do indeed laugh. We have a signature laugh, if you will. Yes, each person does have a signature laugh. And one of the exercises that I do in groups as a way to connect with others is that I have each person in the group laugh for us, and we listen. And then we imitate their laughter, using our eyes to imitate their gestures and the sound. And it's quite powerful how we've experience another person's laughter and imitating their laugh, how it makes us laugh differently and use different muscles in our face, and it affects our brains differently. And it also affects the energy center from which you laugh. So that if someone laughs in a different place in their body, laughter comes from different energy centers, or in some would describe as chakras. One of the exercises I do with folks is that we laugh, we imitate one another to see how that feels, yes? And you're simpatico with another person when you are laughing with them, like them.
Oh, rather than at them, right?
Exactly. So that's really a connector. And I'm glad you mentioned it, because that's specifically the exercise I do with people with Alzheimer's as a way for them to connect with their neighbors, to imitate their neighbor's laughter. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Well, I could imagine a DVD showing lots of different people who would certainly be willing to participate laughing with all different kinds of signatures of laughing, and see what types of laughter triggers sympathetic resonance in others. I mean, I've noticed that throughout my life, maybe being primarily a musician, all the different kinds of melodies that people laugh in, and the different styles and the ranges they laugh in, and it's even different kinds of laughter from the same person depending on what they're laughing about. For instance, I think there's not just what I've observed, a single laughter, but there's, you know, there's laughter when people get things, there's laughing at jokes, there's laughing at things that they're not sure they could laugh at, there's laughing when they're embarrassed and they release, and sometimes I notice different signatures of these different laughters. Is that consistent in your experience at all?
Yes, it is. And one of the things that I work with, as every laughter yoga session that I do, we participate in doing deep breathing, breath work, movement, asanas, you know, yoga postures that are to release the throat, open the mouth, and so forth. And also, when we're on the mat, one of the laughter yoga exercises that I do, because I am a yoga teacher and I work with energy, is laughing through the chakras. And I guide people to start at their base chakra, the chakra for survival, low chakra, the first one at the very base of our spine. We laugh into that. And we'll find that as we move up the body, or the octave, if you will, or the prism of color and light, from the dark red to the orange to the yellow, yes, up to the green, to the turquoise in the throat, the blue in the head, and clear the top of the head, I find that people laugh at different levels, and it gets higher as we move up.
Oh,
and
the sound, yes?
Yes.
Yes, well, that would be, in alignment with the sound healing that Randy teaches, right, Randy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the frequencies go up as you go up, the chakras, sure.
And
I thought it was interesting when you were talking about the serotonin, because Fred Bell uses this particular wavelength of blue light lasers to help with serotonin, 464 nanometers exactly. And when I converted that into sound, it's 147 hertz, which is a specific famous in certain circles, E-flat note. So it would be interesting if laughter and that E-flat note have anything in common.
Oh, there's so much to do. You know, we have rats to laugh with. We have one another. We have dogs to laugh with.
Randy's a scientist, Carmela. He's a scientist.
We have scientists. We have animals. I think that there is so much for us to learn and to explore here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that so much of it really is part of how we've evolved. In society with one another. And
yes.
I also think that it's a connection with our environment and the vibration of the earth and the air and sky and fire and the elements. Because I certainly have noticed that when I take groups out of doors and they can resonate with the wind and be outdoors, there's definitely a different feeling and a different quality to the laughter. And I think that Jan has noted that already, that when we were outside in a circle around fire under the sky, very powerful. And I think that harkens back to our to sound in tribal sense. And
it was very
music.
Tribal.
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah, we laughed until we cried. Yep.
But, you know, I'm wondering if, you know, it's fascinating to hear what you're talking about, the vibration of sound and so forth. What I'm doing a lot with my work is trying to apply laughter yoga and to integrate it for healing. So I work with laughter yoga in different ways with different mm-hmm. populations. And we mentioned dementia. Mm-hmm. But another area where we're using laughter yoga, for instance, is for TMJ. For people with, so we're finding that dentists are starting to refer folks to come to laughter yoga to release and to learn how to open the throat chakra and release the jaws from, you know, grinding their teeth, which is, you know, a mammalian response to stress, yeah?
Yes.
That's fight or flight thing.
It's unlocking those muscles there. Yeah, what I'm saying is that you are working across the gamut of society. You are working at doing events at Sonoma Mission Inn, which is the, you know, elite. There's a beautiful spa there. And then you're working with dementia. So it just says that you've chosen something that is totally universal and human.
Yeah.
Across the entire spectrum. And it's very popular now. People are talking about it all the time.
Well, you know, I wish more, but, you know, laughter yoga was on Oprah, Jan. So, you know, now I'm finding that once something is on Oprah, when I go out now, people go, oh, yeah, I think I saw this on Oprah. But laughter yoga has been featured on CNN, on National Geographic, on the Discovery Network. So on my website,
I'd like to see
more about, you know, to watch mm-hmm. videos. I mean, some of you at home might say, what does this look like? You know, and what does this sound like? You know, how can I do mm-hmm. this? You might want to visit my website, which is www.carmela, and that's with one L, C-A-R-M-E-L-A, Carlyle, carlyle.com. And on my website, I do have videos of people laughing from around the world. On my page where I talk about working laughter in the workplace, there's a little video clip I have there of some Taiwanese business people laughing together. And I have some videos that show laughter in India and some laughter, some John Cleese stuff that's hilarious, where he explores laughter yoga with a comedic sensibility. I also have one on there that you could click on my website to learn more from the Discovery Channel, and it's a little bit of the scientific background of laughter and how and why it works, and referencing some of the things that Randy has brought up this evening. So there really is a lot out there. It was created by a doctor, and ongoing research is happening in 60 countries around the world because it is an international movement.
Well, what is coming up for you that you would like to share with the listeners? Is there any program that they could come to? Or?
Yeah, you know, I have on January the 27th, that's the one at the Fairmont Sonoma Mission Inn,
mm-hmm.
where we do an hour and a half laughter yoga. It's a Sunday, January the 27th, Fairmont
mm-hmm.
Sonoma Mission Inn, 11 to 12:30. We laugh, we dance, we move. We really have a gorgeous studio space there. And if that wasn't enough for you, you go and you get into your fluffy robe, and then you enjoy the thermal waters and lounge in really natural thermal waters there that are just silky smooth. And the community rate for that is $75, by the way, for the whole day. So given that most of us locals don't stay overnight there, that's our mm-hmm. access for enjoying the facility, which is quite lovely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's coming up on Sunday, January 27th. I offer a laughter yoga class in downtown Sonoma at Yoga Community Studio. That's Thursday evenings from 7 to 8:15. For those of you who'd like to go over to Sonoma to the beautiful Yoga Community Studio. And my most active class, though, really, is the Early Bird in Petaluma. I have a group of really enthusiastic laughter yoginis and yogis who meet Early Bird Laughter Yoga at 8 a.m. on every Saturday morning in Petaluma. And that's at the Body Works Yoga mm-hmm. Studio.
Right.
And so we have early bird sessions. We've got an evening class. We have laughter yoga at the spa. And we also are going to be having a special Valentine's Day opportunity. I call it self-love, laughter, yoga, and chocolate together at last.
That's great.
And what we do,
I'm going to go. Randy, sign me up.
Self-love for Valentine's Day. Treat yourself to laughter and yoga postures specifically mm-hmm. designed to open the heart and the throat chakras.
Oh, Carmela, this is great. I'm thinking, you know, Matt is a mediator, and I'm thinking you could be a consultant for him. Think of the couples that we could help. With those conversations, you know, the conversations that couples get into. If we could, have you ever worked with couples with bringing laughter into
them? Well, I am a certified community board mediator. So I've done work with community mediation, and I've mm-hmm. worked with the main application I've done is not with couples so much as emotional eating. Another group I'm doing is in downtown Sonoma with Carolyn Manzig. And she's written mm-hmm. a few books about using creativity to heal ourselves with emotional eating. And in that group, I am using laughter as a way to, it's like that book that Catherine Byrne wrote, hairballs. It's like spitting out the stuff that we've swallowed, The hairball diaries.
That's
and
a good image.
It's a release of the anger that's swallowed, the abuse that's swallowed, the false truths that we swallow. And I use laughter yoga in that context in therapy to release the throat. And we're finding that women especially respond very positively to laughter as a healing for emotional eating.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do, I have worked a lot with that. I guess with couples, opening the heart chakra, mm-hmm. opening
there
the throat, communication, and if nothing else, then you get to eat chocolate besides, and the chocolate's exquisite.
It works for me.
Yeah,
well, Carmela, I know Randy and I would be there, but we are going to be at the Globe World Sound Healing Conference in L.A., and he and I are going to be talking about that in just a minute. And Randy, did you have any questions for Carmela? Or I heard you mention your favorite movie.
Oh, with Ratatouille. Well, I was thinking, I think dolphins laugh and a lot of different animals must have something in that kind of consciousness that, you know, I think they come out in the cartoons to make a bridge for us to open up into that world.
Mm-hmm.
After seeing Ratatouille, I feel a lot of people have more endearing rapport with rats.
Well, those rats did have a lot of fun. And they made me laugh.
Always drawing from all the different cultural contexts. But I am delighted to hear that you're going to be at a global gathering because the work mm-hmm. that you're doing is profound, Jan. And Randy, thank you for having me this evening. I want to mention that we, too, are really an international group. Laughter mm-hmm. yoga is practiced by hundreds of thousands of people around the globe every day. So I want to remind us all that, you know, I believe in laughing for world peace. And we have, every May, we have International World Laughter Day. And we all gather on the same day to laugh for world peace. And in our own way, I feel that all of us who are laughing and embracing joy in community are really altering the vibration globally. So I'm really delighted to be able to be a part of this movement and to be invited to speak with the both of you.
Well, Carmela, you are a wonderful spokesperson, and you've added such joy to our program tonight. Thank you so much. And I hope
very delightful one.
Yes.
Thank you. Right. I'm sorry for the little delay we had getting on this evening. It's really been a joy. So what I want to
wonderful.
Say in closing is if you see someone who doesn't have a smile, give them one of yours and
leave laughing.
You're
great. You're the perfect person for this work, Carmela. You are great. Good evening.
Bye-bye.
Keep laughing. All right. Good night. Well, Randy, wasn't that
I'm
amazing?
Here.
Hi.
Hi.
Laughter is important, and I think people can even fall in love with someone else's laughter. What do you think? Comforting and soothing. And They know that person.
And I've been fascinated by the way that when somebody laughs, it creates a wave that's so infectious that others can't resist, and they, mm-hmm. they get caught in that wave, and how that, mm-hmm. that resonance spreads mm-hmm. through the laughter.
The other evening, three of us, my two girlfriends, were in the kitchen, and one of our friends raises her legs just a funny way when she talks, and I started mimicking her, and we laughed so hard that our backs and our ribs started aching, and then we started crying. And I'll tell you, it's better than any other addictive thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was heaven, if you know what I mean, it was great. We had such a wonderful time. Well, in our last few minutes here, let's talk. We have two major sound healing events coming up, both very exciting. One, a trip to Egypt, Journey of the Heart, Anchoring World Peace and Harmony. And I just spoke to Paul Hubbard yesterday. And for those who just came on, we have here as our co-host tonight, Randy Masters, master in the sound healing field. And so, Rand, do you want to just say a little bit about this wonderful trip to Egypt, the dates? And
well, this will be from April 26th through May 7th, with an additional extension of May 7th through May 10th to go to Mount Sinai and also be able to climb the mountain where Moses received the commandments and visit the Valley of the Kings and have private time in the Great Pyramid and in the King's Chamber in the Great Pyramid, and a cruise on the Nile, and to explore in a lot of the Egyptian temples the sacred sound that was part of the key to the temples. Many of the Egyptian mm-hmm. temples were designed, whether they're outdoor or whether they were covered, to resonate with sound. And by singing certain types of tones, mm-hmm. I believe in particular locations and different frequencies, we can get into the resonance of some of the truths that those temples have to offer by getting into the zone through the sound. And mm-hmm. On the last trip, Jan, you really proved that you could mm-hmm. do that. You could find the resonance in the room and sustain
the sweet spot. Mm-hmm.
And take yourself, and maybe we can also help others to connect mm-hmm. much greater with spirit through the sound. And Paul Hubbard, mm-hmm. who put the whole trip together, is a wonderful sound healer and has led many trips to Egypt. He really knows his way around and mm-hmm. is very tuned to sacred things and ritual in an appropriate way, and also with psychology. So we should have the background necessary to mm-hmm. perhaps sound some of the Akashic records throughout mm-hmm. Egypt into revealing to us what would be helpful for us for where we're headed with humanity.
This is going to be, the way I look at a transformative trip for each participant. People that go to Egypt are drawn there for a reason. Many times they have life connections there. And I know that you'll be in safe hands with the leaders. We'll be doing lots of sound. Let's give Paul's number.
They can go to holographicsound.com to get more information. Holographicsound.com.
And mm-hmm. we do need to sign off now, but we'll just say briefly, the second international, Globe World Sound Healing Conference in L.A. is this month, January 25th, 26th, 27th, and Randy and I will be there. We will both be speakers, and you can see it all on the internet at soundhealingcenter.com.
Yeah, that's the 26th through the 28th, actually, of the actual conference.
Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday workshops, right. But we'll be there the day before, right. Randy,
yes.
Thanks for stepping in tonight for Matt.
This was fun.
I appreciate it. It was fun. It was just like you having a friend here to interview Carmela. And great.
Yeah.
I'll have you back
real
soon. And we are going to finish tonight with another song from the CD that Randy and I co-produced, As Above, So Below, with ancient tunings and lots of interesting things and improvisational work, transmissions from the Divine Mother. And this last song is Tao. The all that there is. Thank you, Randy. Good night.
Thank you, Jen. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Tomorrow. fine show.
How fine. Then.
Hey, everybody. This is Dean Nathan Drake. I am the star of science fiction show Lex the Dark Zone. Well, I hope you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's show on bbsradio.com. Well, if you want to do Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy.
Health Science.
Well, what was it?
Health Science.
Health Science.
Just say you're listening to Dr. Bell's Health Science.
And Energy.
Health Science.
Energy show?
That yeah. works. In fact, I can
Health, Energy, and Science show.
Health Science.
We just call it the Dr. Bell show.
Okay, well, that's what I did.
Same thing, only a little shorter.